We had a great vacation in Manitoba, didn't we?
I always love visiting your family in Gimli on Lake Winnipeg. It kind of reminds me of Garrison Keillor's Lake Wobegon, the town that time forgot.
Except during the Icelandic festival, of course, when our little town turns into a madhouse. You know, I'm really glad that you enjoy and support this reconnection with my family and my Icelandic heritage up there every year. You're even getting good at pronouncing Íslendingadagarin.
Íslendingadagarin, yes.
Pretty good.
Well, vacation's behind us now. How many more hours to Appleton?
I think about six. So are we clear yet what we're going to talk about in this sermon on Sunday?
I'm clear. I don't know what you plan to talk about.
Well, we talked about a lot of ideas while we're on holiday, but you never outlined them.
Well, don't you remember the conversation we had after we had our morning coffee and sitting zazen together and after my prayer practice? Don't you remember that? Big, long conversation about the quote from the book of Amos about walking or rolling or skipping together and these two congregations and the two of us. You know, I think we talked about covenants and core value,
yeah,
congregational
polity.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure, I remember the conversation vaguely, but that's why we agreed you were going to do the first draft.
Me? You said you were going to do the first draft. Look, I guess we're just going to have to write this when we get there because it's obvious we're not going to get much done while one of us is driving and the other doesn't remember what we talked about.
Okay, fine. Look, can we listen to something other than Bach? I mean, he's great and everything, but one more hour of organ preludes and fugues and
I'm
going to put me to sleep here.
Okay. What about Chopin? Love Chopin.
You know, I was thinking more like some more Grateful Dead because I was so... I was so bummed about missing the concerts in Chicago.
Wayne, we listened to the Grateful Dead for the first 2 hours of the drive.
That's not much.
I like the Dead a lot, but there's only so many boxes of rain I can stand.
All right, well, can we listen to something we can both agree on?
Fine. Folk.
Yes.
Fellowship. You have already heard about how excited we are to be here as part of this most unusual and never before done in quite this way ministry in the life of two great Unitarian Universalist congregations. But I have a confession to make. When this idea was first floated that Wayne and I might serve as your transitional consulting ministers, I wasn't immediately excited about it. Because I had a very different image in my head for what my 2015-2016 year was going to look like. It would be our last year at the West Shore Unitarian Universalist Church in Cleveland, Ohio. And I had planned to spend plenty of time with the members of the congregation and be able to do a proper goodbye, much like what I heard your now former minister, the Reverend Roger Birchhausen, did with you. Last year, or this year. So it was going to be a stress-free year. I would read all those books that I had piled up beside the bed. I was going to have endless cups of coffee with members of the congregation. I was going to settle deeper into my own spiritual practice and share that with church members. So when your ministerial settlement representative, Reverend Jan Eller Isaacs, turned to us in early June with a glint in her eye and said, "The two of you still sharing one job?" Technically, that you could work with your other half time at the Fox Valley Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I went, well, I felt that familiar grab of nervousness that comes with big life changes. And everything I thought that was going to happen, everything you thought that was going to happen this year would be different. And yet, I also have to tell you that every step along this process, Wayne and I looked at each other and said, you know, there is something greater at work here that is pulling us along and bringing us together. It's like that Stafford poem that you heard this morning. He writes, there's a thread you follow. It goes among things that change. So we began to walk slowly together with your associate minister, Reverend Leah Hart Landsberg, then your transitions team, your board, your administrative staff, and each step along this process, this invisible thread seemed to appear as if leading us out of a maze of uncertainty to this day, our day, as Dr. Seuss said, when we're off to great places, off and away in this new relationship that we're building together. The title for this morning's sermon, of course, comes from that one line from the book of Amos. And, you know, it seems like a pretty simple line when he asks the questions, can two walk together except they be agreed? But so much depends on the translation. And you know, when you start looking at different translations of that passage, you find an astonishing variety, all with a slightly different meaning. The New International Version asks, can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? And the New American Standard says, can two walk together unless they've made an appointment? Bible still again asks, can two walk together without ever having met? Since early June, the two of us and your wonderful staff and transition team and board leaders have had to ask and answer all these questions just to get us this far. And regardless of the translation you choose, the image of us, of walking and rolling together, finding direction together, is a good one, we think, to start us talking about this beginning.
Kathleen and I have been walking together for quite a while now in both our marriage and our professional partnership. 20 years this fall for our relationship, 17 years for the marriage, and 15 years for the professional partnership doing a co-ministry. I suppose we ourselves are living proof that two can walk together even if they don't agree, because there are plenty important things about our lives and personalities and commitments that are quite different. There is an 11-year age difference between us, and although that hasn't really felt that important for a lot of our married life, it's starting to feel like an important difference right now, because before this came up, we agreed and I announced that I'm doing my last year of full-time settled parish ministry this year ahead, and I plan to retire formally from full-time settled ministry at General Assembly 2016, whereas Kathleen is planning to continue her career with new possibilities and choices abounding. Another difference between us is our theological orientations and languages. We're obviously both committed Unitarian Universalists, but our spiritual practices and, to some extent, identities have been formed by two other traditions: Buddhism for me and Christianity for her. And we each actively connect with worship and retreat opportunities within those traditions throughout the year. As you gathered from our car conversations, we have different tastes in music, in what we like to eat and drink, and how we like to spend our free time. As you get to know us, it may seem like these differences between us, differences in gender, personality, theology, and maybe style, might be what you notice about us first. Nevertheless, we want you to know that we try to speak with one voice about leadership issues in the congregation. Our experience has been that it is confusing and challenging enough to keep both of us in most of the communication loops that happen in the fellowship, and to figure out which minister is going to take the lead in various key areas of church life. So we don't want the staff or the lay leaders to discover that they can't trust a decision or an initiative from one of us to truly represent both of us.
If the differences between us were all we talked about and all that you knew about us, you would probably wonder how we managed to live and work together or why we would even want to try. But the question that the prophet Amos asks is a crucial one for any committed partnership. And that is, what are the things that are critical to be in agreement about if two people are to walk together? And it's not only an important question, of course, for couples, but an important question for any community of people who want to walk together. And it's an essential question for congregations that are part of the Free Church tradition. So as we speak about differences and similarities, we wanted to remind you this morning that we wanted to buy into this relationship with you during the year ahead, not just representing a transitional ministry team, but we're also representing another congregation that wants to enter into a relationship of mutual exploration and support during the year ahead. And one of the most exciting things in considering the possibilities in the year ahead was for the chance for these two congregations, the West Shore Unitarian Universalist Church of Cleveland and the Fox Valley Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, to learn from each other in this time of transition. Now, we've had a chance to learn some things about you, and we were struck immediately by some of the similarities between the Fellowship and West Shore Church. We were founded in the same decade as UU Congregational Expansion and had a similar theological profile of the founding members. We share a Midwest cultural ethos, and I pump my arm because I'm born and raised in the Midwest. We are similar in size and budget and governance, and yet, you know, we've done things differently in how we choose to staff our congregation, how we spend money. We all have the same challenges that every Unitarian Universalist congregation on the smaller end of the large church size face. And we've come up with different strategies to meet those challenges. And perhaps most important of all, West Shore Church is 1 year behind you in a very similar time of transition, as Wayne just said, having announced the conclusion of our 16-year co-ministry next June. So as we consulted with our board president about how this opportunity unfolded, and we were asking for her advice and input about how she perceived this change would affect the folks at West Shore, she started to smile. And we said, Kelly, what's up? She said, you know, you don't know this about me, but she said, I'm from Appleton, Wisconsin. She said, those are my people. She didn't grow up in the fellowship, but she knows the town. She knows the spirit of Appleton. She's already planning a road trip with the board to come to Appleton. And she knows this place because her formative years were spent right here in Appleton, Wisconsin. Kismet. It was a sign, we said. We, too, felt confident that we could be your transitional ministers, working in partnership with your associate minister and staff, because, in a sense, you are also our people. As I said, both Wayne and I are from the Midwest, Wayne from Manitoba, Canada, and I'm from Akron, Ohio. Both of us have been working in large UU congregations, and we know the complexities that arise when working with a larger congregational system. But you are our people too in another way, because as Unitarian Universalists, we share some understandings about how we should be in relationship with one another, and that is grounded in the covenant or the promises we make to one another, shaped by our commitment to congregational autonomy. So the thread that runs through all of this is our commitment to certain core values, ones that will shape our relationship as we walk and roll together this year.
In Unitarian Universalist congregations, you all know that we proudly state that we are comfortable thinking and feeling differently about important religious and spiritual questions, or even with expressing doubt that those religious and spiritual questions are very important at all. We need not think alike to love alike, according to the legendary quote from the Transylvanian Unitarian founding minister, Francis David. It has been intriguing to me, however, how difficult that can be to live out when the disagreements that we might have are about issues we really care deeply about. So I had a revelation about my own limitations about walking together in disagreement during my long-settled ministry in our congregation in Charlottesville, Virginia, from an unexpected place. I made a close friend during that ministry. His family had been involved in the church, and he had grown up in the church, but he wasn't presently involved himself, and that really made it possible for us to become close friends. So we shared a lot of common interests, and I presumed a lot of core values. One of the social justice issues I got involved with during my years in Virginia was opposition to the death penalty. And I was talking with my friend one day about an Easter season series of public witnesses that I was helping to organize against a series of executions that were about to take place. And he replied he was in favor of capital punishment and hoped that the executions would be going ahead. For a few moments, I was really stunned and kind of speechless. It had never crossed my mind that my friend might be in favor of capital punishment. We shared so many common values and experiences and our UU upbringing, and it seemed inconceivable to me that he could reach a different conclusion than me on this important social issue. So we began to talk about what we believed, and I became more and more saddened and frustrated by the conversation. But he didn't see it the same way that I did. He had answers for all of my arguments, or he simply replied that he placed weight on different parts, different feelings, different facts in this debate than I did. And we realized after a while that neither of us was going to change our opinions, and we kind of moved on to other things. But the whole experience left me a little unsettled and wondering whether we could walk together in friendship much farther.
Perhaps you've had a similar experience in relationships that are important to you, whether a marriage or family members or friends, maybe within the community of this fellowship. So what is it that holds these relationships together when your assumption about the ties that bind prove to be wrong? The metaphor in William Stafford's poem is a powerful one in this regard, because he says, there's a thread you follow, and it goes among things that change, but it doesn't change. So what's that thread? In both a marriage and in a religious community like this one, it's the promises we make to each other. Promises that may seem as slender and fine as a thread, but in the end are stronger than chains or steel beams of opinion when the integrity of the fabric of our lives is at stake. So we call the promises we make by different names. When we officiate at weddings, we ask the couples to speak their vows. And family members use the metaphor of blood to represent the commitment they feel to each other. In a congregation, the word we frequently use is covenant. This time of transition in the fellowship will be one where we all have to keep coming back to the meaning and nature of our covenants, both the historic covenants within this congregational church tradition and the living covenants that you have all made that embody the covenantal tradition for this fellowship. We have been so impressed with so much. We've been really impressed, especially with the work of the Healthy Congregations team in your fellowship and all the work that you've done together in community to create a covenant that you call Principles for a Healthy Congregation. And this covenant describes the ways that, and here I quote, the members of the Fox Valley Unitarian Universalist Fellowship will walk together as a diverse community bonded by love. But the promises we make have to be grounded in the reality of change as the only permanent thing about the common life we share. And the covenants we make are no guarantee that the people who make them will always stay the same. Instead, a covenant is always made recognizing that they will not. So the thread of covenant must be supple enough to bend when the fabric of our lives is turned upside down and inside out.
When people stick with any religious community for long enough, we always find that changes and differences within the congregation can be more challenging at some times than at others. And this is a particularly unique time in the history of this fellowship. Now, you all had a history prior to calling Reverend Roger Birchhausen, but all that you went through together makes this first year after his departure more like a time after a congregation loses a founding minister rather than a more typical time of transition. And there are some unique challenges that happen when you transition away from a founding minister. Life becomes a strange combination of everything still the same and everything's different. All but one of the same familiar staff members are still here, Reverend Leah and Siri and Jay and Marie, just to name a few. People who you know and know you who are managing the day-to-day and week-to-week operation of the fellowship. And you know that you're not stuck with us. Our covenant with you is time-bound. So what is going to be different? Here's what's interesting. It could be anything. Something about how we do the Sunday services at the fellowship. Like, we're going to run long today, and we're still going to have the, you know, congregational response. So, you know, that'll be different. You're going to be annoyed about that, maybe. But something's going to get under your skin in a way that surprises you. Or a person, you know, you see at work and work within the fellowship that you've gotten along with really well for a long time may have a different opinion about something going on now. And that's disturbing. You start brooding about that. Or maybe it's more subtle things like a committee that was always easy to recruit for is suddenly very difficult to find volunteers to staff. Or a task that you have volunteered to do at the fellowship for a while that was always fun and easy starts to feel to you like work. It's amazing how things can start to feel different when just one part of a complex congregational system changes. And because everything we do here at the fellowship is voluntary, nobody makes you do it, you might even find yourself asking when things start to get annoying, do I want to keep walking together with these people? So here's when it becomes important to know yourself and who you are in relation to your core values and those of this fellowship. In any long-term committed relationship, whether it's in a marriage, a family, a friendship, or a fellowship, we will go through times when we feel disconnected or when we have to rely on the long-term perspective that is implied by the covenants that we've made. Covenant becomes a kind of safety net for traversing the high wire of times of transition, when the familiar no longer seems satisfying or the unfamiliar wasn't what you expected. Even when the members of a congregation find themselves in conflict about some pretty important issues, this safety net of covenant represents one of the most important core values that Unitarian Universalism affirms: respect for the worth and the dignity of every person, even when our relationships can be strained.
After spending most of our lives in Unitarian Universalism, it continues to be a frustrating thing to try and explain how the thread of covenant has replaced the the cage of creed, when, you know, you get casual inquiries about Unitarian Universalism from acquaintances or airline seat companions. You know what that's like? But Stafford, again, I think, says it really well. He says, people wonder about what you are pursuing, and you have to explain about the thread, but it is hard for others to see. And as much as we have tried to come up with good summaries of our principles and purposes that we can memorize or hand out on those little cards, we can also appear like the lion in the passage from Amos, who roars but who has caught nothing of substance. We can snap shut the steel trap of our bright intellects on some important values and ideas, but in the end, what have we caught? Will the deepest questions of our existence be captured by any creed? We say no, and we refuse to confine ourselves that way. Instead, we pledge each other our mutual support, our honest opinion, our deepest compassion, and our passionate witness to make real those core values that are represented by this fellowship's mission and the principles and purposes of Unitarian Universalism. One of the simplest summaries of our core values that is sometimes used in church school covenants, in those church school covenants that children can memorize, refers to the open minds, open hearts, and open hands. And, you know, I think that's as good a summary as any of the three core values of liberal religion that will also be guiding us in the year ahead. So I say let's declare 2015-2016 first as the year of the open mind, right? Because neither of us, neither the West Shore or the Fellowship or your minister or, you know, any of us have done this before. And, you know, it's going to be tempting to say to one another, well, at West Shore we do it this way, and at the Fellowship we do it this way. But, you know, throughout the course of the year, both of our congregations are going to be re-examining the way we've always done it through the lens of transition. And it's going to be important to look at every major and sometimes minor decision with beginner's mind, to ask open questions of curiosity, and to seek to understand rather than insist first on being understood. So I'm going to declare 2015-2016 the year of the open heart. This religious community is one of the places where we get to practice what it means to be fully human. And that is both hard work and heart work. It's heart work because it requires us to assume good intentions and, you know, to be patient with each other, especially during this time of transition, knowing how difficult it can be. And it's heart work because it requires us to insist on direct communication, especially when the issue is an emotional one. So I'm just putting it out there right now. If you got a problem with something we do or say, don't let it fester. Let's talk about it. We expect that to be part of our ministry with you. And we expect that part of our ministry with you is going to be listening to your joys, your concerns, your hopes for the future. And, you know, just a heads up, Wayne and I have enough trouble trying to keep up with our daily communication between ourselves that we're not going to be trying to carry information for the other one, or for Leah, for that matter. So, again, open and direct communication characterizes this year of the open heart. And finally, let's declare 2015-2016 the year of the open hands. We have been so impressed, even in the short time we've been here, with the deep connections of both direct service and social justice work that the fellowship has done throughout Roger's tenure. And your role as leaders in this community should and must, and we expect, will of course continue. As leaders who are physically present for 2 weeks out of the month, it is unlikely that we will be able to step into those roles that a full-time minister on the ground could. But we are eager to learn from you about the most important places to connect and to be supportive of long-term commitments in the wider community.
So there will be challenges ahead, to be sure, and you're uncertain about who your next settled minister will be, and we're uncertain about what's going to happen for us and how we will each land. all of us are in this time of transition and change together. Asking ourselves what we can count on in a time like this, I cycle back to Stafford's poem, which I realized was written just shortly before he died. He reminds us that the thread you follow that goes among things that change, that doesn't change in itself, is so important, and while you hold it, you can't get lost. The thread is the promises and the core values and relationships that guide us. Through our time together, tragedies may happen. People may get hurt. Some of us will die. Some of us will suffer. All of us will get 1 year older. Nothing you can do can stop time's unfolding, Safford says, but you don't ever let go of the thread.
My friends, the journey begins. Let's walk and roll together. Will we succeed? Yes, we will. We will indeed. So be your name Birnbaum or Buxby or Bray or Mordecai, Ally, Van Allen, O'Shea. We're off to great places. Today is our day. Our mountain is waiting. Let's get on our way.